ready for the Military Bowl. We're just a little over 2.5 weeks away in this first ever matchup between Boston College and East Carolina. I'm very excited right now to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Eagles, John Mediparel. John, appreciate your time this afternoon. How are things up in Chestnut Hills?
Things are good, yes. Thanks for having me. It's a little cold up here today. It feels like we might get some snow, so it ain't exactly Greenville, North Carolina.
Sure is. You know, it's snowing here. Like I mentioned before the show, John, I live in Connecticut, and it's been snowing all afternoon, and it's going to continue through the night. So I'm sure you're getting it even worse up there.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be too bad. But, you know, welcome to New England, right, Matt? I mean, starting in December, sometimes November, that's what we deal with. But hopefully we'll be much different conditions in Annapolis in a couple of weeks.
I want to ask you, John, as far as the weather is concerned, what's it going to be like compared to with you guys now compared to we're hearing different reports about Annapolis?
I think Annapolis is obviously a little warmer. You go a little south. It's not, you know, clearly, obviously not North Carolina, but I think it'll probably be a tad warmer, maybe 3, 4, 5 degrees warmer. Hopefully no snow, hopefully no anything that will hurt either side. I think you're not going to get, it's not going to showcase bowl in that regard, but, you know, you can't control it. So control the controllables, as a famous New England coach says.
You know, John, taking a look at Jeff Hafley's ball club, you know, tell us, you know, what are some of the staples? Obviously, a lot of people, when they think about Boston College, they think about previous regimes where you see tremendous ground attacks and big physical offensive linemen, so on and so forth. But one of the things that really jumped out at me over the last couple seasons is on some of the offensive numbers, you know, when the offensive personnel was healthy, and by personnel, I'm obviously talking about quarterback Phil Jurkovec. So just talk about Coach Hafley's program, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper into the personnel, like Phil.
Yeah, no, I think the program, they want to be a diverse offense. They definitely want to throw the ball, and Phil Jurkovec is one of the top quarterbacks in the country when he's healthy. I think he's proven that. He's definitely a top prospect come 2023 draft. He's already decided to return to school, so he's not going into the NFL draft, which is good news for BC fans. So, you know, they're going to throw the ball. There's no question about that. They want to get vertical. They want to stretch the field. Frank Cignetti, their offensive coordinator, has that in his background. He's been an NFL coordinator. He's been an NFL quarterbacks coach. So they want to be a pro-style offense. They certainly do have a good running game led by Pat Garwo, who is an all-ACC back, rushed for over 1,000 yards, 87 yards per game. So they can do it that way too. But don't make no mistake, it's not the old Steve Adazio, A.J. Dillon, Andre Williams offense. They want to throw the ball.
John, what about as far as Boston College? I know that Coach had said that you guys are happy to be coming down to Annapolis, the D.C. area, which you've been recruiting very heavily.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good area. It's a fertile ground. It's, BC's clearly mined that area for talent in the last decade. One of their associate head coach was a high school football coach there, Oz Rahim, at Friendship Academy. So he knows the area very well. Along with the rest of the BC coaching staff, 300,000 alumni from BC reside in the area, so it could help from an attendance perspective. So I think things are definitely pointed in the right direction in terms of playing in Annapolis.
Before we talk more about this matchup, John, you know, we're discussing off the air, even though these programs have never met, you do have some connections. Former East Carolina assistant coach Jeff Jagosinski, who we had on the program last night, he is actually an assistant for BC and then the head coach of a very successful two-year run where the Eagles won 20 games and played in the ACC championship game and had an awful lot of success. You also had his offensive coordinator, Steve Logan, who's the all-time winningest coach at East Carolina, and then quarterback Dominique Davis, who transferred to East Carolina from BC. You know, what are your memories of some of those guys?
Yeah, no, I think, you know what, we had a hell of a run with Jags and Steve Logan, and that was also a testament to what Tom O'Brien did to bring in talents like Matt Ryan. So, and Rich Gannell, who's now on the BC coaching staff as running back coach, all-time leading receiver. So there's a lot of talent on that team, offensively and defensively. And Jags and Logan were clearly a big part of that. We reflect fondly on that. I think that team could have won the national championship in 2007. They just stubbed their toe. But they had the talent to do it. They were up to number two in the country. And, you know, then they finished, I believe they finished 10th overall. So that's pretty good. So it was, that was a dream year, but it helps when you have a top three draft pick and Matt Ryan pulling the trigger. So, you know, the best thing that Steve Logan did was utilize Matt Ryan's talents. And he said, you know what, just go out and sling it. Because he knew he had a big-time NFL prospect, and he played to his advantages. And any good coach, guys, always does that. Play to your athlete's best advantages.
The play that I recall from that run was a game at Virginia Tech. Was it maybe a wheel route or something down the left sideline that Matt Ryan hooked up with? Was it a running back?
It was Andre Callender, Bubba.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I remember that play very well, and I just remember Jags going crazy on the sideline.
Yeah, he did. You know, and that was, we all did. I called that game. It was a rainy night in Blacksburg on a Thursday night. Chris Fowler and Herb Street were there calling it for ESPN, and we were trumpeting Matt Ryan as a Heisman candidate with Fowler before the game. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And that was a Red Sox World Series game, and they beat the Rockies that year in 07. But I was also on sports radio in Boston at the time. And the next morning, about 40 to 50% of the show was about BC football. So that was a lightning rod moment, no pun intended, under terrible conditions. BC won. And they did not beat Virginia Tech in the championship game, which was unfortunate, but it was still a terrific moment in BC football history.
Yeah, no doubt. John, I wanted to ask you, you know, before it was announced that East Carolina was playing Boston College in the Military Bowl, we were really looking at three different options that were sort of rumored out there. It was Virginia Tech, Virginia, and then BC was kind of, it seemed like, you know, maybe the third option for that game. So when it was announced, I personally was really excited to be playing Boston College. Number one, I have tremendous respect for your program, just a rich history up there. And for us, it's a chance to play somebody different and unique. And obviously, you know, two programs on the East Coast that have never played before, which I found very interesting. So I wanted to ask you, what's kind of the mood with the fan base up there when it was announced that Boston College was going to be playing East Carolina?
I think, you know, here's the thing, guys, with BC fans. It's hard to gain traction. If you're talking Boston, it's quiet because right now fans are focused on one thing, the New England Patriots. And when you're in the – Matt, I know you're based in Connecticut. You kind of get a glimpse of that probably from where you are down there. It's tough to gain traction. If you're not – if you're in a high-profile bowl, it's easier. If you're in the Orange Bowl, if you're playing for the ACC Championship, it's a big event mentality. I think nationally, I think the BC fans are excited about this. I think locally they're excited, but it's a little bit of a murmur where it could be a real – earthquake, so to speak, if they're in a BCS type game. You know, that's hard to do, and that's just something it's hard to do when you're in a pro sports town. But I think overall, the fact that there's 300,000 alumni in the area, I think they're very happy, and hopefully, you know, 20,000 of them will go to the game. I think that would be a nice turnout for BC fans. And, you know, I think it's great for the program that they're there. They turned down a bowl last year due to COVID. I think this is a great rallying point for them. I think, you know, I think they're happy to be playing a team they haven't seen. I know that, you know, Fenway was always on the radar, but, you know, that's not a bowl game for BC. It's in their backyard. They'd be practicing at BC all week. It wouldn't be a experience, so to speak, which you usually get with a bowl. So I think it's a win-win all around. Sorry, I kind of did a roundabout answer there, but
no, it's
one thing you got to know about Boston, and I know you guys do, is that it's hard to gain traction. You have to win, and you have to win big games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, it's funny, being a guy that, you know, grew up in the Northeast, obviously having a chance to work here with, you know, a great group of guys from the South, Dave Richmond and Bubba and Kyle. It's just such a different world in the Northeast where professional football is king. And, you know, when you live up here, like you said, it's all Patriots. And when you live in the South, it's college football first. And so I completely understand what you're saying. Two unique environments for sure. And, you know, personally, I hope that BC brings a huge contingent to the game just to make it more exciting.
Yeah, no, I think that's a possibility. Obviously, weather would, if it's conducive, will help. But again, you can't control that. But I think as you get closer to the game, you know, we're 2.5 weeks out now. I think there'll be more of a buzz. There'll be more. It's a good week to play because there's not much going on. Patriots will be coming off a game against Buffalo the Sunday right before the game. But you know what? The bowl games. Everyone says there's too many bowl games. You know why there's a lot of bowl games? Because the ratings are always traditionally excellent on ESPN. I think this game will rate very well. And, you know, I think it's a really good matchup and a matchup opponent for BC.
John, talk about as far as with the Pirates. I know with East Carolina, very excited with ACC opponent. The fact that you have a chance to win 8 games in the season with Scotty Montgomery. We only won 9 games in 3 years. What's the mood as far as what's the expectations for this season? We know 6 wins and then for BC, but what obviously this would be for a winning record, right? And what else are you guys playing for?
Yeah, no, that's important. It's always important. And Jeff Hafley would be the first to admit it. You clearly want to get to 7-6. They definitely, guys, and you know, I know you, the woulda, coulda, shoulda game's popular among sports fans, but you have Phil Jakovic in your lineup all year. You're looking at 8 wins, maybe 9. At the least, he went down with a broken hand against UMass in game 2 and you know, didn't come back until Virginia Tech, and they won that game, and then they beat Georgia Tech to get the bowl eligibility. So it's just a different team with him at quarterback. So, and you know, was he 100%? No. I think he'll be much better as he has, you know, a month off here to get ready from when the season ended up until the military bowl. So I think he'll be close to 100% in that game. And, you know, it's a good feeling there, Dave. If you get to 7-6 as opposed to 6-7, it gives you a launching pad for 2022.
Now, John, tell us about some of the skill personnel, you know, when this BC offense is clicking on all cylinders, and who are the guys that Jakovic is getting the ball to? And then also tell us about the offensive line. When you take a look at the East Carolina defense, second-year defensive coordinator Blake Carroll, it's a defense that likes to bring pressure, doesn't bring as much as they once did, particularly depending on the matchup and, you know, the quality of the quarterback and so forth, and how adept the quarterback is in identifying a blitz and then being able to get the ball out quickly. But tell us about this BC offense and the skill guys.
Well, it starts with the guy on the outside, Zay Flowers, who's a pro prospect, terrific receiver, probably one of the best 40 times that I've seen at BC. Definitely a track-style athlete, can track it better than anybody in the air. So that's the guy that if you're an opposing defense, you know you're going to have to keep an eye on. He's got next-level speed and hands, too. So clearly a weapon. Pat Garrow, as I mentioned, has been a bell cow running back this year with over 1,000 yards. Behind him, they got a nice kid in Alex Sinkfield, who's a West Virginia transfer. Travis Levy, who's another kid who's 830 combined yards this year. So offensively, their tight end, too, Trey Barry, has been beaten up, but honorable mention, all ACC, real big target at 6'6", another pro prospect, was at Jacksonville State last year in the FCS. He's a guy to watch. Offensive line, laden with pro prospects. Right up front there, you're going to see a lot of guys go to the NFL. So, and that's anchored by an All-American in Zion Johnson, but you know, there's a lot of good building blocks. I think the ability of Jerkovic to diagnose a defense is important. That's something that, you know, they had a little bit with their backup, Dennis Grosseau, but Jerkovic is clearly a talented QB in that department. So BC's become more dynamic under Jeff Hafley the last couple of years. And, you know, there's really no shortage of weapons.
Tell us about the defensive side of the ball. You know, down through the years, you think of BC playing excellent defense. And like I mentioned earlier, you think of a solid ground attack and quality defense, you know, kind of like Virginia Tech down through the years under Frank Beamer. So, but tell us about the BC Eagles defense this year.
BC defense, guys, much improved. And that's one thing you got to examine here is in your bowl preview leading up to the next 2.5 weeks. This defense is rugged. 33rd overall in the country, 344 yards per game, 5.4 yards per play. The numbers are great, but you know what the big number is? Touchdowns allowed. They've allowed less than 30 touchdowns. So that's something that, you know, that's a promising, you know, that's a very fortuitous number for BC, not only for this year, but in the coming years. They've had little pressure up front. That's one area that they've got to get better at the next couple of years is generating more of a consistent pass rush. They do it in certain design blitzes. Marcus Vell, there's all honorable mention, all ACC. He's a fifth-year guy. He's been really good. Another kid named Shita Salah has been a little banged up. He's going to be a really good player, similar to former BC star Matthias Kiwanuka. Donovan Ezeraku is a freshman who played pretty much every snap this year. So they're young a little bit in some key areas, but linebacker Isaiah Graham Mobley, a Temple transfer, very good find coming out of the transfer portal. They have a corner named Josh DeBerry who will be playing on Sunday soon. Second team, all ACC. I think clearly one of the top 20 defensive backs in the country. Jaden Woodby, a transfer from Florida State. He's a guy that's probably going to be playing in the NFL too. He's a safety. Brandon Sebastian, cannot underestimate him. He's going to the NFL next year. They have a good ball hawking unit, and they're a veteran unit, and they're very well coached. That's Jeff Hafley's bread and butter. You guys no doubt know that. At Ohio State, he was defensive coordinator there. So there's a lot going on for BC on that side of the ball. But I know, you know, look, East Carolina's got a lot of weapons too. So the Eagles have faced some very good offenses this year, and this will be another good one for them.
Yeah, you know, John, when I like Bubba mentioned earlier, when I think of Boston College, I think of big physical offensive line. I think of fundamentally sound football. I think of a well-coached team. You know, always impressed when I watched them through the years. And, you know, I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine last night when the line, the initial line came out for the game at BC -3. And what kind of jumped out to me was the big physical Boston College offensive line versus the East Carolina defensive line, which has, you know, if you're not too familiar with us, about 3 years ago was a major, major weak spot for the program. And one of the first things Mike Houston did as a coach was he addressed the defensive line. And I think his first recruiting class, he brought in like 8 defensive linemen. So we now have size. We now have the ability to rotate up front for the first time in several years, which I think is, you know, obviously beneficial. So, you know, for me, when I look at this game, I see that to me kind of jumps out as the key matchup, the BC offensive line versus the East Carolina defensive line, and who can win ultimately that matchup, I think will win the game. You know, what are your thoughts on that, John?
I think it's always the case, to be honest with you, Matt. I think, and that's a good point on your part. I know a tremendous amount of respect for what Mike Houston's done. I was a big fan of his when he was at James Madison. Always kept an eye on those programs. And I think a lot of people, you know, in college football clearly did too. And that was ECU's game by hiring him. I think that's a great, you know, a good indicator of what BC will be able to do is Pat Garrow is gaining 4, 5, 6 yards a game, then they're in business. They have to stay on schedule, like every team in the country. Do not get behind the sticks. Do not, you know, don't give me a 2nd and 9 or a 3rd and 8. You got to go to 2nd manageable, 3rd and manageable. And that's something that BC's have been a little bit inconsistent with the last couple of years, better this year. But even with a guy like A.J. Dillon, that was sometimes a problem. So stay on the schedule. I think this line will tell you that their run blocking was a bit even inconsistent this year. They came in with much acclaim. And Alec Lindstrom's a Remington Award candidate. He's a finalist. He'll find out tomorrow whether he wins that award. But I think overall they're probably telling you, you know what, we probably could have played a little better. Tyler Vrabel's a guy, left tackle, Mike Vrabel's son, another guy who is a definite pro prospect. But cohesively, they have got to have a good bowl game.
And John, talk about the recruiting for Boston College. We obviously know with the academic standards.
Yeah, the recruiting is, it's always been.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Dave. Recruiting has always been a roller coaster. I think BC, though, this year, it's on the way up. They're a top 25 class by all accounts. You know, I think that has been a major, major bonus, the fact that Jeff Hafley's been able to crack that top 25 based on their services, which, you know, many times been wrong, and BC's been a testament to that. Luke Kuechly was a two-star. Matt Ryan was a two-star. Mark Herzog was a two-star. I can go up and down the list. Guys, the Sherrillis, an offensive lineman, first-round pick of the Lions. So many guys they brought in. It's a developmental program. Jeff Jagosinski could have told you that. You know that going in when you take this job. You're not going to get the four- and five-star guys every year. But BC's cracking that. That doesn't mean they can't. And they're getting closer to that. So I think it's definitely become a huge bonus for the program, the fact that they're rising in those ranks. And they got a great quarterback behind Phil Jurkovec named Emmett Moorhead, who I think is going to have a terrific career. He's out of California. He's got a pro-type arm, amazing arm talent. And I think that type of kid they're going to continue to get. You're right. Academically, it's not easy. It's an Ivy League-type education, one of the top 30 schools in the country. So you have to deal with that as well. But, you know, that makes it a little harder. But you're not going to get every kid you want into BC. But it seems like they've done a really good job even with that.
John, would you say that, you know, when you look at BC recruiting, I mean, how heavily do you sort of match up with Syracuse on the recruiting trail? I mean, I'm sure 15 years ago when UConn had it going, I'm sure that, you know, you guys were – you're fighting for a lot of the same kids back then. Obviously, they've really – falling off the map as it relates to football. So, I mean, who would you say is your – is it Rutgers? Is it Syracuse in terms of the other Northeast teams that you're battling a lot against?
I think it, maybe Matt, maybe in years past. I think now it's more – it's the Thunder. It's the top 25 programs. I think it's Notre Dame. I think it's – you name it. I think it's, you know, even Oklahoma and Penn State. And, you know, you go down the list this year. Of the top recruiting teams, BC is up against them. I think Jeff Hafley will tell you that in the room. He can compete with those type of programs, the USCs, the UCLAs. You know, maybe you don't think of a West Coast guy, but BC wants to recruit California, and they've done a good job of that. So right now, it's a vast landscape. It's not just Syracuse. It's not just Rutgers. I think Jim Moore was a good hire at UConn. I love Don Brown's hire at UMass. I think that's a terrific hire. He was a defensive coordinator at BC. I think he'll try to get them back on the right track. But those are teams that – those are a little bit more in the rearview mirror now. BC's more of a national brand.
Interesting. I love to hear that. And I think it's good for the Northeast to – I'm really hoping that BC is able to – you know, obviously after the Military Bowl, hoping that you guys are able to put it all together, because sure. Like I said, it's I think it's important to have a very strong football team up here to be able to give us something, you know, other than, you know, the Patriots and the Giants. So
it's also about the commitment too, guys. And I'm sure you've seen that at ECU. It's about, you know, is the administration committed to the program? They are. They're all in now. And, you know, the ACC is flush with a lot of money. Let's face it. The ACC network provides a lot of money. That was main impetus for BC leaving the Big East in 2004, 2005. I actually joined the broadcast in 2005, the first year in the ACC. So I've seen that from, you know, the bottom floor on all the way up to 2021 now. And there's an amazing indoor facility. If you guys ever get a chance to come up to Chestnut Hill, you have to check it out. Campus is gorgeous. It's just, you know, from the moment you walk in the front door, which is the BC football program. I think football programs around the country, that's your front door of the university. And think of it that way. I think the administration has clearly committed to the program.
John, tell us about the BC special teams. I mean, East Carolina, you have an all-conference place kickers, a freshman, and Owen Daffer. who's been extremely consistent, hit that 54-yard game winner against Navy a couple weeks ago. And then you also have a very solid punter in John Young, who was second-team all-conference, and a quality backup for him and Luke Larson. The Pirates have given up a couple of block place kicks as well as a couple of block punts. And then also East Carolina's given up a couple of kick returns for touchdowns. So tell us about the Eagles special teams.
Special teams have been good. Really, really stabilized place kicking. We're good last year with a kid named Aaron Bumeri, a transfer from Temple. He got hurt, career over. But they brought in a freshman named Connor Litton from Christiansburg, Virginia, in the backyard of Virginia Tech. And he's been terrific. I think he's going to be one of the best kickers BC's ever had, if not the best. 11 for 12, hasn't had many opportunities for field goals. He's perfect on extra points. Our punter's excellent as well, Grant Carlson. He's been extremely consistent, 44 yards a kick, 25 inside 20, good leg. They did have a blip against Georgia Tech when the kickoff guy was not supposed to kick Jahmyr Gibbs, who's an explosive returner, one of the tops in the country, and he busted one for 98 yards. So that was – they won the game, but that was a blip. Jeff Apley was not happy with that. But overall, special teams, Travis Levy returned to kickoff, 98 yards for a touchdown at UMass. So they're good. It's a very good unit. They do a really good job. They're consistent week in and week out.
What were your other options if it wasn't the Military Bowl? What do you think it would have been for BC? It's typically rumored, that you might go here or there. So what do you think was the other option?
Tough to say. First of all, God love the people who know how this process works. it's a roll of the dice every year. If you're not going to a New Year's Six Bowl, or if you're not going to the playoffs, so everybody's in the same boat. I know they look at a lot of variables, how the teams travel. That's probably a primary one, but I think on the radar was the First Responder Bowl in Dallas, which BC played a couple of years ago. The game that wasn't, after playing Boise State, got canceled due to a horrific lightning show. That was, I think, on the radar. I think the long shot was the Holiday Bowl, but they pretty much knew NC State was going there. This was definitely, obviously, a Military Bowl was at the top of the list. And the Sun Bowl, I think, was definitely on the radar. BC has not gone there. I think maybe if they were 7-5, 8-4, they would have gone to the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, that's a fantastic bowl.
Yeah, clearly could have been a fun game against Washington State, who's playing Miami. But I think this is a great destination. I really do. I think, Fenway was always talked about, just for those that quite didn't understand that landscape, though. I don't think this was the year that BC was going to play at Fenway. I think Fenway wanted to go elsewhere, and BC wanted to go elsewhere for the reasons I mentioned before. It's a great bowl. I think it's going to do great things. And I think it's run by really smart people. But overall, right now, this is the perfect place for BC to go to.
John, what I was trying to say, sorry for the technical difficulties, but I was trying to ask you about, I was watching the ACC championship game on Saturday night, and when seeing Pitt beat Wake, it just made me think about you guys, that with the job coach is doing, and where you're talking about recruiting, that could be you guys here pretty soon to play in Charlotte.
Yeah, no, I think great point, Dave. It's a distinct possibility. I think Clemson proved this year that they are mortal at times. They're still going to be good. They still are loaded. I think Dabo Swinney, I mean, this is a down year. Okay, he'll take that. they'll be back. But I think BC has a real good chance. In the next 3, 4, 5 years, maybe hopefully next year, to get to Charlotte. And that's something that is clearly something that they want to accomplish. That's goal number one, is to get to the ACC championship game and win it, and then get yourself in the Orange Bowl. So that would be quite a moment for the school.
Yeah, John, you have me excited now looking for this toward this bowl game, because – I hadn't realized, I guess, from an outside looking in, I guess I just hadn't been maybe paying close enough attention to the fact that BC is a program. It sounds based on our very quick conversation, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of enthusiasm. It's a team on the rise. And, you know, as you know, when you look at bowl games, you know, sometimes you can throw out the records during the season. It really comes down to what team wants to be there the most oftentimes. And, you know, I had an opportunity to play in two bowl games. And I really believe it does come down to so often the team that wants to be there the most. So I think you have two teams here that are very hungry, two teams on the way up. And that really presents for a nice matchup.
It does. I think it's a matchup opponent, guys. And I know you know what that means, but for fans that don't, I think they match up in pretty much every area. A lot of times you might play a team and you say, oh boy, this could be a tough one. Or, you know, maybe this is not going to be pretty for the opponent. But I think this one, I could see a field goal game. I could see a touchdown game. I could see a, you know, that one possession type game when it comes down in the final 5 minutes and, you know, maybe who has the ball last type of game. The way I've at least pre-scouted East Carolina, very impressed with that team and everything that they do offensively and defensively and special teams and so many weapons and the way they use them all, that diversified attack. So, you know, I like this game as one of the more competitive bowl games on the landscape.
John, no doubt about it, especially with both teams. I think it's more like the line says, with a I think it's still a three-point line. So that's a really tight game, and I think it's a great matchup for both teams. I think it's great that East Carolina, a lot of us want to see the fact of having BC being what I was BC, in my opinion, is a national brand. It's great for East Carolina to play, and maybe this will lead to another thing, talk about scheduling, which is not always fun, but Boston College, I think, would be great on East Carolina's schedule for a home and home.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think that's something that the athletic directors, who knows, they may discuss come bowl week. You know, that's obviously above my pay grade, but I think it's when you look at BC's schedule, I was just looking at it today. You know, they're at Notre Dame next year on November 19th. Fans always circle that game, the quote, Holy War. That would be interesting with Phil Dracovic going back to South Bend. He was at Notre Dame, new coaching staff, Marcus Freeman and company. So, those are always, you know, those, as I mentioned earlier, those are the games that rally the fan base here. But East Carolina, I think, be terrific. Played Temple this year out of the AAC. They've been to Boston. They've been struggling, clearly. New administration coming in there from the coaching side. And, you know, I think that would be a really nice opponent for BC, East Carolina.
Kind of shifting gears a little bit, John, before we wrap this up. I know Winston Tabbs obviously began his basketball career at Boston College. So tell us what you can about Winston, because unfortunately he's trying to return from that knee injury and he's had a flare up over the last few weeks and we have not been able to see him on the court just yet.
Yeah, no, I think Winston Tabbs will be a terrific addition. I think he's a scorer and this just in, you need scorers in college basketball and you need guys who are going to hit the three and he's dynamic. He's got a lot of explosiveness if he's healthy. So that's the big if. He's been plagued by injuries. And some guys just can't seem to shake that. I know he's worked very hard. He did at BC just to get back to the amount of games he played. So I think you're going to like what you see if he gets back on the court. And that was a tough loss for BC, but BC basketball is definitely headed in the right direction under first-year coach Earl Grant. And I think you know, I think there's a lot of good things to come. And by the way, guys, cheap plug here. I'll be on the ACC Network tomorrow night calling the Pitt-Colgate game. I work for ESPN on the basketball side and college baseball side too. So I encourage you all to watch the ACC Network tomorrow night at 8 with Pitt and Colgate.
Since you brought up baseball, and this may have been what Dave was going to ask, and I'll let him and chime in as well if it was. I apologize, Dave, but the 2019 regional at Clark LeClair Stadium when the Pirates lost that opener to Quinnipiac and then battle back through the loser's bracket and defeating Quinnipiac and also Campbell a couple times and NC State. Talk about that experience, getting to see really the most consistent program at East Carolina and everything it has to offer with the fan base there at the Jungle.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. You guys, everybody made us feel at home. I was doing the games with Troy Eklund, who was a star at Nebraska, at Arkansas, and he was extremely impressed as a college baseball veteran. And I was a rookie, but I was very impressed as well. Just the entire feel of it. It was a big-time feel. Cliff Godwin, loved talking to him. Extremely knowledgeable. What a program. Love the fact that everybody, every pitch, guys, that's one thing I noticed, they're into every pitch. And that's something you can't say about a lot of places. And it was they were left wanting more, but it was a terrific tournament, despite some rain delays. But we had a lot of fun. I hope I get back there soon. And I'd recommend it for anybody to put on their college baseball bucket list.
Well, John, can you plug your stuff as far as social media? And thank you so much for coming on. It means a lot. And we'll look forward to the bowl game on the 27th.
Yeah, my pleasure, Dave. Thank you. You can reach me at Meets Tweets. That's a tough one, but it's not Meets Sweats. It's Meets Tweets at M-E-A-T-S Tweets. You can reach me there as well, and also at John Mita Perel on Instagram. So I'm not on TikTok. I know Matt probably is, you know, as an old football player, you're going to be on TikTok. But my kids are, but I haven't gone there yet.
You're not missing much, John. Don't worry.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I've seen a few, but
take care, and we'll work on Matt's TikTok, and we'll get back to you on that. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right, guys, my pleasure.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm fired up.
Absolutely, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I can't wait for December 27th. And I'm still, by the way, guys, I'm playing Let's Make a Deal. I'm trying to make deals on any way possible. Ask the bosses again today. Not that it matters for everybody at Pirate Nation, but I'm making deals, big time deals. I'll work 50,000 days in a row. Not really, but a lot of days in a row, this day, that day. They're coming to me with, you know, they need help. So I'm like, I need help on December 27th for that bowl game that I've been waiting for all this time.
Yeah, now, Dave, I'm trying to remember what the movie was. Some of you guys, it may strike a chord with you, but and I'm sure it'll come to me after we end the show, or not show, but this segment of the show. But just when you asked your bosses, did they say, "Yeah, you can go. If you do, you're fired."
Yeah, exactly. No doubt.